from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Little tapper. Harris will spin and throw, and that'll do it. The Astros couldn't score in the 10th and the 11th, and then they only score one in the 12th after the A's scored two in the top half. Frustrating loss tonight to start this series against the Oakland A's.
Good word, Todd Callis. It was frustrating. Todd Callis on the call there. The Astros lose last night 4-3. Mariners lose again, so the Astros are still up 4.5. Sand is just running out of the hourglass right now in the Seattle Mariners, as long as they're going to lose every night. It seems like the same things happen. Like when the Astros win, the Mariners win, the Astros lose, the Mariners lose, and this 4.5-game lead feels, it's a 5-game lead in the loss column, feels pretty comfortable right now. Like, I'm not worked up about last night. In fact, as long as the Mariners are going to play, you know, kind of mediocre baseball, I can take losses last night and go, you know what? I feel good that Spencer Arrighetti looks like he straightened some things out. You know?
I feel good about Spencer Arrighetti having straightened some things out. We talked about this earlier. At this point right now, I trust Spencer Arrighetti over 3 appearances more so than Justin Verlander, just because I think Arrighetti's going to give you 2 good appearances, mm-hmm. and then maybe one where Blanco has to come in as your long relief. Whereas with Verlander, I don't know if he's going to give you a single good appearance over the course of 3 games. So once Verlander irons things out, then I will go full bore into trusting him again, but at his age and with the injuries he sustained this year, I don't think it's a slam dunk that, oh yeah, he'll be just fine come playoff time. So that's the uncomfortable position we find ourselves in, where, Sean, really the rest of the AL is kind of just sputtering down. I don't want to say sputtering. Everybody's playing 500 baseball. The Mariners, they're 4-6 in their last 10. The Yankees, the Orioles, all these teams, the Guardians, these teams are all just playing 500 baseball. The part that I get frustrated with is that in a night where you're 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position, where you get beat by 3 consecutive bunts by the A's, that, man, this was an opportunity where you could have been making a stab for that number 2 seed.
That's fair.
If you could go on a run right now, or if you had in these past 10 games, you could really be making a push, and they're just running with the pack right now.
Yep.
Everybody's mediocre over the course of the last 10 or 15 games.
Yeah, a wild card round series is something we're not used to here. Whether it was before the 6-game format and having to play a 1-game wild card, or now with the 6-team format in the postseason. But now with the 6-team format, the 2 seasons that we've had that non-COVID, the Astros have been able to get that bye in the first round. And there's a big reason. There's a lot of reasons, I should say, that you make 7 straight ALCSs. Having to play less baseball to get to the ALCS is a big reason for that. You know,
and it's just, I mean, and we've just seen this so many times. The problem with the 3-game series, I don't care if you got home field advantage. I don't care about any. It's just so random. It puts so much randomness into it, and it's so easy for a bad team, not even a bad team, but a lesser team to beat even a vastly superior team in a 3-game series. Yeah. So, and this is the last year since 2017. This might be the last year where I want any kind of randomness in the playoffs. Yeah. Because there's a lot of randomness to the Astros right now.
I guess it's easy. Even with Arrighetti pitching pretty decently last night, like right now, it's a pretty easy power ranking here to stack up for a wild card series, where it's you go Hunter, you go Fromber, in some order. I don't know which permutation it is, if it's Framber first or Hunter. Right now, the rotation lines up with Hunter and then Framber. So that might be what it ends up being just because you're playing down the stretch that way. Hunter goes tonight, Framber goes tomorrow. I guess, is Kikuchi is the easy pick for the third guy right now?
I would think so, yeah. That's who I'd be.
I mean, Arrigetti's only had the one bad outing, but God, it was atrocious. It's one that it loses you a game.
I mean, it's not just one bad outing. I think it's, you go a few games before that, he had a bad outing too. I don't know. He just doesn't have the same consistency over the duration of his career.
Yeah.
Kikuchi's only pitched 1 2/3 innings in the playoffs, but I don't worry about that as much. If you're looking at two guys that have minimal playoff experience, I'd rather go with the guy that's just been playing Major League Baseball for a lot longer.
You know what you probably do, like now more than ever, is you go Kikuchi 3 innings, maybe Spencer Arrigetti 3. It is an all hands on deck game because if you had to go to a game 3. It's an all hands on deck game where the first sign of trouble, you're going to the next guy. And because you got a good bullpen, you know?
Well, especially with Kikuchi, the one thing is you can't expect him to go deep into that game.
Correct.
Nor do you want to. It's two times through the rotation.
Yeah. Know? That's what
it's
you do.
Classic, just as simple as that.
Four innings out of, whatever it is, however many innings it takes you to get through the lineup twice.
Yeah. Just to remember, you go back to August 16th. That was when Arrigetti had let up 4 runs. And then he had a couple good games before that, but like late July, that was a bad stretch. So, I mean, he's had some nice stretches where he goes a few games in a row, but then the really ugly one pops up. So I don't trust him in totality.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Kyle Tucker, since his return, he's been back for 3 games now. Well, he's been back for more games than that, but he's played in 3 games. 1-10 with 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. So he's got 4 strikeouts in 12 plate appearances. 1 hit. It was a base hit. So nothing yet. I think we're just chalking this up to rust, right? These would be rehab games normally that Kyle Tucker. Like, that's the thing. Like, Kyle Tucker, rusty Kyle Tucker is better than anything they've had in the outfield over the last couple of months.
Rusty
you know?
Kyle Tucker versus a rusty trombone. Yeah, I'll take the rusty Kyle Tucker, please.
Oh boy.
I'll order that up.
Yeah.
Probably should dump that.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. don't need the kids fumbling for Urban Dictionary. Yeah.
I don't even know. Yeah, I don't need the FCC to make a precedent-setting ruling on that one.
Yeah. Okay. There's like 10 jokes I want to tell right now.
Congratulations to the people on the stream that got to hear that.
Yeah. Okay. Nobody named. Never mind. I'm not gonna.
Nobody named Rusty.
Yeah.
I made
a
joke about rustiness.
Right. There was another name, but it's okay. God, it's like having an electroshock collar on right now. So back at it tonight. Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez. Like that. These are the two hammers, man. Like this is where you go. All right, we lose the first one, but we got Hunter going. We got Framber going. Got the bats going this weekend, I thought, until they went 2-17 with runners in scoring position last night.
Yeah. And the A's, just for anybody that hasn't really checked in on the A's, I know most of you maniacally are always checking in on the A's. They've been a good baseball team since late June. So it's not like it's just a bunch of haphazard losers up there that you lost to last night.
They were talking on the broadcast last night, on the Astros broadcast, about how weird it's going to be for the next few years going to play at the A's.
Sacramento
minor league ballpark that they're sharing with their AAA team. So there's all sorts of scheduling oddities. But the one thing that they brought up, I think it was Callis or Blum, one of them brought it up, that I thought was interesting, was if you were a free agent, would you go play for the A's knowing that you're going to be playing in Sacramento for the next 3 years?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah,
does it factor into it?
To which I would say it sounds a whole lot better than playing in Oakland.
If I had to choose between playing in Oakland versus playing in Sacramento, I'd rather play in Sacramento.
I think I would too.
But I wonder how much of the A's fans, the disenfranchised A's fans who are just PO'd that the owner still owns the team.
Yeah,
that's the biggest thing I wonder. Even with Raiders fans, Raiders fans are going to follow it. They could reposition the Raiders in Guam, and people are going to find out a way to go to Guam.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the A's are the same.
No, I don't either.
They don't have the same pull.
And yet it's the same city. Like, theoretically, there should be a lot of overlap, and you're absolutely right. Like, Raider fans, like, they moved to L.A. and like, cool, we'll just go down to L.A. for all the games. They moved to Vegas. There's Raider fans from the Bay Area that invade Vegas all the time. I mean, that probably has something to do with it, that those are easy trips. Like, those are puddle jumpers from Oakland. You can, they're dry. You know, it's not ideal to drive from the Bay Area down to L.A., but you can do it for a football game if you wanted to. I don't know what the drive from the Bay Area to Vegas is.
Now, yeah. You know? Now, what do you mean the same city, though?
It's fans from the city. Like, the Oakland fans were very forgiving to Al Davis for moving the team multiple times. They would travel to games. These A's fans hate this owner. You know, like, they're not, they don't seem ready to.
Oh, it's the same city. Yeah, I
same
got you.
Yeah.
I had in my head, I was like, I think Sacramento's like 2 hours.
No. I meant the fans are from the same city.
More than 2 hours, Yeah,
the fans are from the same city, of the Raider fans and the A's fans. So that's what's interesting to me. I'm going to go next year on a road trip. I want to see what that, just out of curiosity. I myself would much rather travel to a Astros road series in a minor league ballpark in Sacramento than go to the Coliseum. And I've been to the Coliseum in Oakland for a Raiders game. Super fun. You know, not the greatest place to go for a weekend. That's all. You know, it's just. So I'm going to go next year. I'm really anxious when they get to Vegas, you know, and I'll be going to plenty of those.
That's like the Raiders have the most expensive tickets in the in the league. And I'm guessing just part of that is that they get so many people that want to make that a destination event, and they get a lot of visiting team fans that go out there. I mean, you can go out, you can have a weekend or a week in Vegas, and also go see your team play. That's pretty cool.
It's Blue Man Group, Celine Dion, and then we go to the Raiders game on Sunday. Yes,
you remember we were talking to somebody out there who was a Raiders fan, who is saying that also, like, with hockey especially, because hockey players do not slow down on their partying tendencies.
Yeah.
That there's a little bit of a Las Vegas flu with visiting teams. That the teams that travel, like basketball, football, and baseball, they definitely feel that the visiting team isn't always in the best physical condition when
I remember this conversation you and I had, and I can't remember who
it was.
Told
a musician. From Five Finger Death Punch.
Yes, that's who told us, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head. My bad. That's who told us. You're right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. Payne and Pendergast with you. So we need to plan a Sports Radio 610 road trip to Sacramento next year. Good morning, guys. This is Rolando from the North Side. Text message. My take from the game on Sunday is if the Texans would have played that exact same game against Kansas City, Kansas City would have won that game. So would the Texans have won that game if they had played Kansas City, playing the same game they played against the Colts. So that's the meter or the standard that I'm setting for the Texans this year for every game, Kansas City. God bless, he says.
I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah. And, you know, much like I really hesitated to draw too many conclusions about the Ravens based on their game against Kansas City, because it's an unfair standard almost. The Chiefs, this is what's annoying about the Chiefs. Last year was their reset year. Like,
they won the Super Bowl.
That was their reset year. Yeah. They won a damn Super Bowl in their reset year.
Yep.
They weren't that impressive in the regular season. They had questions about their speed and depth at wide receiver. Travis Kelce looked like he was a shell of his former self, and they won a Super Bowl. And as they were doing all that, they cleared salary cap space. They loaded up in the draft in the next year. And now they're back to being, they got past their reset year in which, oh, by the way, they won the World Series, the Super Bowl.
Whichever
the relevant championship is.
Right. We need Patrick Mahomes to lose interest in football. You know, like, we just need him to get interested in something else. I've done everything I can do in this sport. So I've taken up scrapbooking. I'm going to become the GOAT when it comes to scrapbooking. Hey, you guys heard about scrapbooking? I need a new challenge.
That would be awesome. Oh, yeah, he gets so good that he's bored with it, like Michael Jordan or whatever caused Michael Jordan to take his hiatus? Is he into gambling? Yeah. I'd love it if he got into gambling hardcore.
That would be awesome. Yeah. You guys, it was really frustrating. I lost my 5-team parlay because Brandon Ayuk dropping a touchdown pass in the back of the end zone.
Listen, I'm as sick of seeing my wife and brother on social media as you all are, so I'm going to take a break from the game. I just can't. That's his press release. I just can't with this.
Speaking of parlays, I don't know if you saw this. Nick Wright, who our former colleague here, we play Nick Wright's audio on this show sometimes, played it earlier. His co-host, Kevin Wilds, on First Things First, I guess, was trying to kind of teach his kids a lesson about gambling and, you know, like how hard it is to hit a parlay. You know,
to scare him off.
Yeah.
He was trying to, like, make him smoke a whole pack of cigarettes to scare him off of smoking, right?
A little bit. Yeah. That's what I get. I'm only reading the tweet, so I'll read the tweet verbatim. But Nick retweeted a screen grab of a parlay that Kevin Wilds did with his kids as a family conversation starter about gambling. Yeah. So Wilds says, I did this as a family conversation starter. Nick says, Wilds legit tried to teach his kids a lesson about gambling, and they ended up hitting a 14-team money line parlay that paid 2,400 to 1. Unfortunately, they bet a dime. And I don't mean the slang for dimes. Dime is slang for $1,000. They bet a literal dime. 10 cents won them $239.63.
Oh, that blew up in his face, man.
Yes.
That's like when you make your kid smoke the pack of cigarettes and he's like, boy, I feel focused.
No, you know what this is?
I've never been more productive in my life.
That's making,
I just finished my term paper.
Yes, that's making the kid smoke a pack of cigarettes. And on the last one, he's literally like blowing smoke rings in your face.
Yeah. And three girls have reached out to him because he's got bad boy appeal. Dad, I've got so many DMs.
Dude, 10 cents, a 10 cent money line wager. It must have been all the Saturday and Sunday games. It was a 14 leg parlay. 10
oh my
cents.
Gosh.
10
oh.
cents paid $239.
Oh, that's horrible. Those kids are hooked now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I guess I told you I might have gotten hooked this weekend because I had locked. This is the worst part of it. It would be one thing if I had won my two Texans bets and that was all it was. But I had locked in the Texans when they were -3 back in late August. Or -1 back in late August.
Yeah.
The line eventually moved to -3.
Yep.
But I had locked them in at -1. And then I had taken the over on the game. So I won both those bets. And the sweet, sweet elixir of me feeling like I was super smart. That I wasn't just lucky that I locked them in when they were -1.
The market, yeah.
Yeah, that I'll take the pat on the back that, oh, yeah, I was smart in that instance,
Hell
not
yeah.
just lucky.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what gets you is when you start thinking you were smart.
Yeah, man, I knew to lock in at -1. Sharks
totally
are gonna
forgetting that I would have locked them in at -3
yeah.
as well if I had just been a little slow on the
draw. Squares
drawing.
Are going to move that thing to 3, and then the sharps are going to get in on it. Yeah,
I'm a sharp now is
you're
what
sharp,
I am,
dude.
You see. I wouldn't have bet at -3, but -1 was the smart
you're
play.
You're a total sharp. Seth the sharp, man. Absolutely. All right.
By the way, it was Chris Kale of Five Finger Death Punch that we were talking to, and I love Chris Kale because he's the classic. He's a hard rock / heavy metal type dude that you look at pictures of him and scary as hell. You meet him in person, you're like, oh my God, this is the most delightful person I've ever spoken to.
He's a sweetheart, yeah.
I'm like, this guy is, he's deep. Like, he's talking about sports with me, though, like kind of casually
he's
and everything.
Great.
Yeah.
He's great. The Texans, two key plays from the game on Sunday against the Colts that have the national media both talking and one particular member just completely flummoxed. We'll have that for you coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.